Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday. Happy Valentine's Day Monday, February the 14th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a great Valentine's Day wherever you are, and we will talk more about Valentine's Day as the morning goes on. We have some Family Feud left over from Friday in regards to Family Feud, so we might, in regards to Valentine's Day, so we might get to that in just a few minutes, and talk about Valentine's Day in general, because this is one of those weird days. It's not really a holiday. Obviously, it's not a federal holiday. The banks will not be closed today or anything of that nature, but it's a day that people do celebrate. I'm trying to even think what it would be likened to, because Christmas is a holiday, Thanksgiving's a holiday, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Easter, those are all holidays, but Valentine's Day, a little different. Not really a holiday, but something that will be celebrated today by quite a few people. But we'll get to that as the morning goes on, because obviously the number one story this morning is the Super Bowl from last night, and a lot of people are waking up very, very depressed this morning. Now, if you haven't heard, and you must have been living under a rock if you have not heard by now, the Bengals were defeated in the Super Bowl by the Rams 23-20. 23-20, which tells you how close this Super Bowl was. But, and I said this last week, I really am not a football fan. I couldn't tell you the last time I sat down and watched a whole football game. I'm more of a baseball guy. But last night I was home, and I did tune this game in. And I did. Some people were over last night, so I was kind of out doing things the first half and really didn't pay too close attention. But the second half, after the Super Bowl halftime show, was interesting. And I'm going to get to this halftime show in a second, because I have never seen such a mixed reaction to a Super Bowl halftime show. A lot of times you'll look at social media and you'll look at what people are saying, and people either love it or hate it. Well, this Super Bowl halftime show was, I've never seen such a split in my life. It wasn't that we loved or hated it. It was the people who loved it seemed to love it more than the actual Super Bowl itself. And the people who hated it, they thought it was the worst Super Bowl halftime show in the history of Super Bowls. And it seemingly depended on when you were a child. The people who grew up with that music thought it was great to see these people back on the big stage. The people who did not like that music, couldn't understand it, thought it was the worst halftime show in the history of Super Bowls. But we'll come back to that in just a minute, because we got to talk about the game here. So I'm watching the second half, and the Bengals take the lead. The Bengals take the lead. And I thought, well, it looks as if they might actually pull this out, because they came in kind of playing sluggishly. Right off the bat, they were scored on, and I thought, oh, this is not a good sign, because what I thought was going to propel the Bengals to a big win last night was the fact that I thought they were not going to take it lightly. It had been so long, the 80s, I believe, since the Bengals had been in the Super Bowl. The last time they were in the Super Bowl, they had lost. And I thought that they had worked really hard to get to the Super Bowl, so they would not take the Rams lightly. And I don't even know that they took the Rams lightly. So I'm watching the first half, and I thought, well, they've taken the Rams lightly because the Rams are scoring on them right off the bat. So we get to the second half, and the Bengals are now in the lead. And they led most of the second half. Well, we get to the last 2 minutes of the game. And to be honest with you, nothing really extra extraordinary had happened in this game. No big plays, no referees involved. Nothing really had happened that anybody was going to be able to call to this morning and say, boy, what a mess that was. Then we get to the last 2 minutes. And to be honest with you, I am not a football aficionado, but I have no idea what happened. The Bengals had a lead. The Rams got down. I don't remember what yard line they were on, but certainly within scoring distance of the Bengals with under 2 minutes to go. And all of a sudden, these referees start throwing yellow flags like I have never seen in my life. And I hate to say it because I don't want to blame a loss on referees. But the referees cost the Bengals that game last night. And you know what's funny? What I could not figure out. Now, the announcers were Al Michaels, and Al had spent some time down in Cincinnati with Joe Nuxall years ago with the Reds, and Chris Collinsworth, who I believe is a former player. These guys who were announcing the game did not seem to put much emphasis at all on the fact that the flags were causing a big issue here. I mean, they of course mentioned it, but they acted as if, well, that's normal. Okay, moving on. I don't think that was normal because the flags kept giving the Rams first downs, which gave them more attempts to score. And after I don't know how many attempts they had there within scoring distance, it was what, probably four or five, maybe even six attempts because of all the flags on those plays. They scored, which put them in the lead, and they eventually won the game. Now, the other thing about this, there was a play, and I'm hope I'm remembering this right. I believe it was fourth down. It was either third or fourth down. And the Rams had to score. And they throw the ball, and there's a flag on the play. Now, the flag on the play was because one of the Bengals had batted down the football. This is why I don't like football. This is why I can't watch football. If you listen to the announcers, if you go back and listen, because they watch this thing on instant replay, they say, well, did this guy do the wrong thing? And then they never answered the question. And they never really called it into question. But had that not happened, had that flag on the play not happened, the Rams would not have gotten another first down. They would have, I believe that was on a third down. They would have either had to kick a field goal, which would not have put them where they needed to be, so highly unlikely they would have done that with under 2 minutes left to go, or they would have been pressured to score on the fourth down, which I'm not sure that they would have, because it did take them a few more times after that to score. Then all of a sudden, the next two or three plays, there were just flags flying everywhere. Flags flying on both teams. It was a mess, and I don't know how the Rams could not have scored, because they were given so many chances because of what went on. And then I think the Bengals honestly got nervous because they made a major mistake. And again, I'm not a big football guy, but when they were coming back up the field with a minute and a half to go, they only had 1 yard to get a first down. And they threw the ball in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl with under a minute left to go, you only need 1 yard for a first down, and you try to throw it, and of course, Burrows got sacked when he tried to throw it, and that was the end of the game. And I think the Bengals were even kind of disgusted at making a play, making a mistake like that, a call, because they didn't even take their final timeout. They just let the clock run out and let the Rams take the Gatorade, and that was that. So that's my take on the game. But again, I am not a football aficionado. So does anybody have anything to say about the game itself? Totally confused. 740-383-9944. Weigh in on this, because I have no idea why that went the way it did. If the Bengals had lost and there would not have been all these flags, I could say, well, you know, the Rams were just the better team. Or if the score was not as close as it was, 23-20, the Rams. I think there's going to be a lot of controversy coming out of this this Super Bowl, although the controversy might be beat down a little bit because of that awful decision to throw the ball when they only needed 1 yard to get the first down. Very strange. Go ahead, caller.
Scott E. Spears, how are you on this Valentine's Day?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I agree. I agree that I'm great, but also, of course, I'm great, as are you, of course.
Well, I asked how you were. I don't know if I agreed that you were great, but...
Well, that's okay.
Were you drinking last night, Adam?
Of course.
Well, I can tell you. I think you're a little hungover this morning.
Well, that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, the end of the game was very sloppy by the Bengals. All those penalties... This is no reason to get a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct or roughness. I mean, play like gentlemen. The Bengals have a gentleman kind of a reputation anyway. And, you know, that last play, honestly, I would have kicked a field goal. McPherson can kick a 68-yard field goal. That guy could kick a field goal all the way to Columbus.
Yeah, but they only needed 1 yard. Why would you not run it?
I agree with you there. I said they should have tried a field goal. Tie the game up, because McPherson, I don't think he's ever missed a field goal. And I think he could do 68 yards.
Well, but that's a long field. I understand why they were trying to get closer, because they had timeouts and they had time. But why would you throw when you only need 1 yard?
Well, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. It was sloppy. It's like he was just waiting. He couldn't pull the trigger, and sometimes that happens. I mean, he's young. He's new to this. I mean, he plays like someone who's been around for 10 years, but he showed his naivete at that point. And the coach also, he's young, and I think in hindsight, 2020, and they're going to look back at that for many, many years and realize it wasn't one of their finest moments.
But do you think it all started, and I'm not saying that a lot of the fouls that happened down there in the end zone, on their end zone, when the Rams eventually scored, were not their fault, because I do think the flags that they got following the first one, I think were all okay. But when he slapped the ball down on the Rams' third down, in which if that had happened, if that play had stood... The Bengals slapped it down. I can't remember the player's name who slapped it down. But if that had went through, the Rams would have either had to kick a field goal, which I don't think they would have done, because that still would not have tied the game up, or they would have been pressured on the fourth down to get a touchdown, which I don't think they would have, because they had like three more plays, and it took them three or four more plays to get the touchdown, but they had the time because of all those other flags. But why did they call a flag on that play where I know they called it, I think it was pass interference is what they laid it, but you could even hear Al Michaels and Collinsworth when they watched it on replay, they kind of went, well, yeah, I don't know if it was or it wasn't, but that's the way they called it.
Almost every play in football, Scott, is a gray area.
And that's why I don't like football.
Yeah, the whole game is based upon...
the refs.
Tackling.
The refs, and I'm not saying they were wrong, but the refs decided that game last night.
That's often the case. And football, every play is a gray area, which is both fascinating and a bit unfair. I mean, the idea that the Rams were the home team, of course, that's decided in advance. Now, I don't know what you do about that. In baseball, there's parity, because they go they go from home to away, back to home if more games are needed. With football, it's decided in advance, and we make jokes about home team advantage. That's not going to stop the Bengals from playing a good game, but you know, when these people are paying $50,000 for a seat, and who knows, probably $30 for a beer, they're going to be cheering like crazy.
And yeah, but
there are Bengals fans that made the trip, and there are people in California who are big Bengals fans, but the crowd influences it, and you miss things as a referee, even with all the computers and all the simulation, all the instant replay. Every single play is a gray area. Where do you spot the ball? I mean, and what is a penalty? I mean, the whole idea of the defensive team when there's a pass is to prevent the receiver from getting the ball and running it in, maybe for a touchdown.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand, and I watched the instant replay, the Bengal player never, on the first flag, the Bengal player never touched the Ram player.
Yeah.
He just got in front of him and knocked the ball down.
I don't claim to be an expert, Scott, and again, everybody's, even refs with 30 years of experience, everyone will give you a different answer. And it's the angle that they show on the screen. To me, it was very, very much a gray area. And I mean, in baseball and all sports, there's always the case of is it or isn't it. And this was obviously one of the biggest penalty calls of all time in the postseason, and it hurt their momentum. And maybe that was why they made that less than bright decision on that last play. It'll be talked about for many years. And I mean, it's both fascinating about football, and it's unfair. And again, the idea of the home team home field advantage. I don't know what you do though. I mean, people have made jokes that just play it in Cleveland, so the Browns will never be the home team. I mean, laughs aside, we have to do something about that because I don't really think it's fair that you play at the home stadium. It is a stadium. The Rams know their stadium better. Every stadium has its quirks.
Well, it was clear to me.
Baseball, but it does apply. It applies anywhere.
Yeah, but it was clear to me that after that call, the Bengals, I'm not saying they got thrown off their game, but they got angry. Because then came the unsportsmanlike conduct. Then came the grabbing the jersey. I mean, there were just penalty after penalty after that. How the Rams could not have scored after that would have been a miracle. They had so many chances.
Yeah, you do, and you get frustrated. It's like, can't they at least give us a call? Because there'll always be a few calls that will be sided toward one team or the other. And these refs, they seem like they were California boys, didn't they? And, you know, the Bengals certainly played a good game. That last play wasn't their finest moment. But McPherson, he showed why he's, you know, maybe become the best kicker ever. Even with some of the issues, Burrow was outstanding. So the Bengals are the team to watch next year for sure.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
But let's, you don't mind switching to baseball, Scott. I'm not sure what they've agreed upon. Every day I pick up, I know you're a big fan as I am. And your team is the Cubs, right?
Right.
I'm a Reds guy, of course. But I like all the regional teams. I mean, back in the 70s, I like Willie Stargell and other players from the teams in the area. I don't know what the deal is currently with the Players Association, but it looks like the DH will be in both leagues, and I hate the DH. You know, you look at football, Scott. One thing you and I can, I'm sure, agree about is there's offensive players, defensive players, and special teams, and there's some overlap. But in general, you know, you have as many as 33 players. A baseball team has 9 players. The pitcher hits. The pitcher can't hit. Well, then that's their problem. I don't like the DH. I don't like all these new rules designed to add offense. Are you a purist like I am, or are you in favor of this universal DH?
Well, I think from time to time, all games need to be updated to a certain degree, but I think baseball's penchant to update at this point is more about trying to stay competitive in a field where they are not the most watched sport, where it's waning, baseball, for some reason. And you know, I think they've been involved in a lot of controversy the last few years, changing the name of the Indians. I think people were very unhappy with that. They haven't had a real home run race in a long time. The last World Series that was gigantically exciting, of course, was 2016 with the Cubs and the Indians. So I don't know. I think they're trying to figure out what is going to get people to watch. And baseball's the World Series is a 7-game series, so you're just not going to draw like the Super Bowl, which is all wrapped up into one game.
Yeah, they're very different kinds of games. So, you know, you feel you're open to adjustments in the rules.
Well, explain to people, because there's a lot of people listening who don't understand what you mean, what they want to do.
They want to put more interest in the game. I agree with you.
But I mean DH.
They call it slow moving. Well, the DH is where, in baseball, you have 9 players. The pitcher is kind of unique in that he plays 3 positions, basically. Hits, that is offense, or used to hit. defense, if a ball is hit to the pitcher and the pitcher throws someone out or a fly. And, of course, pitches. And that's what's unique about it. Whereas, you know, the first baseman, he plays defense and he also hits. And even offense, I mean, includes running and some other things. Many pitchers aren't good hitters because they concentrate on their pitching. I mean, there are many, many pitchers that are better than a lot of position players. I mean, Babe Ruth was originally a pitcher, as you know. Greg Maddux for the Reds, Jose Rijo, Don Gullett, Tom Browning were all very respectable hitters. Oftentimes, hitters are the biggest and strongest guy in the team, so they might strike out a lot, but they could also be a home run threat. And so with a designated hitter, the idea is to add offense to the game and also allow older players who aren't really good defensively anymore to keep hitting. Because usually the defensive abilities, because that is more traditional athleticism, that will decline ahead of offensive abilities. Let someone who's older or maybe not good defensively be a hitter only. Hit for the pitcher. So the pitcher does not hit. So a designated hitter, again, often a older type, power type hitter. And that adds more offense to the game because he's likely to be a better hitter. Now in football, you have, you know, the offense, the defense, and the special teams, and again there is overlap, but you don't see when the Bengals are playing defense, Joe Burrow sits on the bench and cheers the team on. He doesn't tackle or anything. But then, you know, George Blanda was a quarterback and a kicker, so there is some overlap. But in baseball, the idea is you're a complete ball player and you do multiple positions. You know, people, Scott, have joked, and as I've said, why not make baseball like football? Have 9 defensive players, have 9 offensive players, and have a pitcher. Well, to me, is that what it's going to come to? That's dumb.
I don't know.
I like the idea of a complete player, and there's strategy where if the pitcher is not a good hitter, teach him how to sacrifice bunt and just move a runner over, and realize even if he is a strikeout or nothing more than a person is going to sacrifice, he's such a good pitcher, you can deal with that. Where, you know, again, Tom Seaver, Tom Glavine, Tom Browning, Jose Rijo, and back to Babe Ruth. If they're also a good hitter, then, you know, and Ohtani, look at him. Is he a pitcher or a hitter? Who knows? He's great at both. That adds excitement to the game. And if it comes time to put a reliever in, it's gonna swing the decision one way or the other.
Well, it certainly will be. Let's see if anybody else has anything to say about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. You know, I've always been a purist, and it just puts a really bad taste in my mouth. Especially with some of these Reds players. I mean, I remember when Seaver played with the Reds, you know, we were all excited about that, and I didn't realize what a good hitter he was. I mean, he could just do everything. And it just added excitement, and I don't like this. You know, football's a different kind of a game. It's okay if Joe Burrow sits on the bench when the Bengals are playing defense. That's part of the mystique. You know, baseball doesn't have a clock.
All right.
About baseball. Okay, well, I'm sorry to be windpipe again.
I can feel the windpipe calls coming.
Yep, but you notice how much slower I'm working on that. Show delivery when I call you.
Yeah, plus is a plus. Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you later, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz here. What's your take on Super Bowl, the Super Bowl game last night with the Bengals? 740-383-9944. Now, you've heard my take, but don't let that deter you from calling in, because to be honest with you, my take could be wrong. I am not a football aficionado, but I still don't know exactly what the flag was for on the play that essentially cost the Bengals the game. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I thought that was a good Super Bowl. It wasn't a blowout. Either team didn't blow each other out, but, you know, I would have loved to have seen when the Bengals had them down there on that goal line there. I would have loved to have seen that the refs didn't, like, basically pick, you know, like, who won that Super Bowl. I wish a lot of them calls, so a couple of them calls, even the announcers said the Bengals wasn't even holding the guy or whatever, and they called it, they threw a flag. I mean, you know, some of them calls are weird.
Well, I'm confused. I'll give the officials all the calls but the first one. What was the flag, the first flag that flew down when the Rams were charging down there, the first flag that flew on the third down where the Bengal player knocked the ball down without touching the Ram player, stopping
That's
him from scoring?
About.
Yeah, what was the call? What was...
It was holding.
But he wasn't even touching him.
That's what I'm talking about. The refs could, you know, like, I understand refs are human beings, but I mean, come on, it's the biggest game of the year, and you're making that call. I mean, you know, come on. You know, the guy, even the guys who's calling the games even slowed it down and said that it was not holding. They said, where's the hold?
Well, who was holding? I mean, I don't even understand. The Bengal player who batted the ball down was holding the...
He said his left hand grabbed Cooper Kupp or whoever it was. But Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth was like, they even slowed it down and they were like, where's the hold?
Oh, by the way, I don't know anything about football, but I pretend to know something about broadcasting. That Collinsworth should not be calling Super Bowl games. Al Michaels is very good. I like Al Michaels. He's fine. But that Collinsworth, I honestly, I don't even know. I don't know. There's got to be... Where's Bob Costas? Where is some of these other great announcers? I don't know. To me, I just did not think he was doing a great job.
Well, Bob Costas does the World Series, don't he?
Well, he might, but they need to bring... He can do football.
He ain't done football for a little while. He did basketball there for a while.
Yeah, but Collinsworth, I mean, he's a former player who they made an announcer because he was a former player. Now, sometimes that works out. But to be honest with you, I don't find him all that great a broadcaster. And in plays in games like that game last night, he was kind of hard to follow.
Yeah, and one of the good announcers are... I don't know if you agree with it. It's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I mean, they're real good broadcasters.
Well, yeah, but I still don't understand what that first flag. Now, I will give them some of the other ones. I mean, there was some unsportsmanlike conduct.
Wait a minute. Now, Joe Burrow took a late hit there in that late in the game, and his right knee. And they didn't never call that. He got late hit by number, whatever number that was, that come over and blasted him, if you saw that.
Yeah, but the Bengals did have a chance at the end. Why, on 1 yard, why on 4-and-1 would they try to throw the ball?
Well, they were going to one. They were trying to. Joe Burrow, he always comes through. And that's. But I would have ran the ball.
Yeah, that was a horrible mistake. And he got sacked.
Yeah.
I mean,
see, what they were trying to do is earlier in the game, they emptied the backfield, and it was a straight run for Burrow. Now, that would have worked out because he just ran straight up the middle, and earlier he got like 10 or 12 yards out of it.
Yeah, but they had to know this was the play that was going to end the Super Bowl. If they didn't get that 1 yard, it was over, and that the Rams were going to do everything possible as soon as he went back to pass to knock him out.
But, you know, Joe Burrow, he's a young player. Bengals got their man. He's going to be in the league for a very long time. And I don't see the Bengals. I see the Bengals not having a bad season for as long as Joe Burrow is there.
Yeah, but When you have your chance and the score is that close, and I'm not saying they won't be back in the Super Bowl, but that was a choke. That was a terrible decision. Whoever called that play, and that Burrow clearly choked on that play. I mean, he had nowhere to go. It's the last play of the game, and he got sacked.
And where was the offensive lineman blocking? I mean, you can't really blame that on Joe Burrow. I mean, the guy just came in there like unabated or whatever. Like, the guy wasn't even there.
I've just never seen a Super Bowl in my life that was decided on a quarterback sack. Usually something happens. They try to get rid of the ball. They try to run forward. They try to... Why anybody would ever chance the game? They still had timeouts. They only needed 1 yard. They were within in field goal range, which would have tied the game up.
Yeah.
Why they went that route, I will never understand.
Have you ever noticed when it goes for Ohio State too? When you're in a big game, it's like the spotlight gets too bright for them. You ever realize that?
Well, yeah. It got bright last night. I think after those flags on the plays, I think the Bengals just... I think it demoralized them in a way, and I don't think they had any... After that, every play they made to me was not good.
I would have loved to have seen an Ohio team win a Super Bowl. And, you know, the Bengals were right there. You know, like I was telling someone last night, the Browns will never win a Super Bowl because they got owners that don't know what they're doing. It's like 1 year they have a good year, and the next year Baker Mayfield had one good year, and then he was, you know, this year was supposed to have been his good year, and then he goes out and he does horrible. If he would worry about spending more time on the field, about his performance on the field, than worrying about his Progressive insurance commercials, he would be a heck of a ball player. I mean, he is a heck of a ball player. He's in the NFL. That's the highest you need to go. But come on, man. You have a good year, and then the next year you just stink it up.
Well, maybe after that game last night he can sell Burrow some Progressive insurance, because he's going to need it after that sack when he goes back to Cincinnati. People will be after him.
Oh, yeah. He's probably sore neck today.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Phone lines are open. We're talking Super Bowl. The Super Bowl that happened last night. 740-383-9944. 45 coming up on 46 minutes past the hour. Remember, if the phone lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. 740-383-9944. And I will tell you, I don't have a dog in that fight, except for the fact that I am from Ohio. So obviously I would tend to favor the Ohio team. But, I still don't understand what that flag was all about when the Bengal player. I wish I remembered who the Bengal player was who knocked the ball out of the way so the Rams couldn't score the touchdown. Why that was a flag, I have no idea. Have absolutely no idea. But again, this is why I don't watch a whole lot of football, because I don't understand what they're doing. I have no idea. But again, phone lines are open. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. If the line's been ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So give us a buzz. Maybe everybody else feels it was the right decision. Maybe people feel that the referee did do the right thing. Maybe people feel that they should have tried to throw the ball on 4-1 at the end of the game. I have no idea. I couldn't figure it out watching why they played the game the way they did. But again, if you have an opinion, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. Now, what about that halftime show? Does anybody have any feeling on that halftime show, by the way? I was looking at social media after the halftime show, which I think was kind of like a 90s throwback. People either loved or hated it. Loved or hated it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'll give you my take on the game. I watched about half of the first quarter and like, this ain't going well.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that was it.
Well, but it did go well. I'm trying to remember when the Bengals scored and took the lead. I think it was I think it was the second half, right when they came back after the halftime show. And they held it the entire second half down to the last 90 seconds. So they were playing well, but...
Not enough.
Yeah, but that game was decided by the referees. And I even hate to say something like that, because I'm not one of these people who wants to blame the officials.
I've seen so many games and baseball games decided by the umps and the refs, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, but the Super Bowl, the biggest game of the year, and you're down to the final 90 seconds, and you've pretty well stayed out of it the whole time. I think both teams would agree the refs had stayed out of it last night. And you start throwing flags like candy canes in the last 90 seconds?
I don't watch games. When they start throwing flags like that over just nitpicking things, I just turn it. I don't watch it.
Well, like I said, had that flag not flown, the first flag. Now, the other flags people can question. But that first flag that went against the Bengals, if that flag had not flown, that would have put the Rams at fourth down. Now, they either would have had to have kicked a field goal, which would not have put them in the lead, so that wouldn't have been much of a point, or they would have had to have tried again to score on fourth down. And as we saw, it took them three or four more opportunities to score that touchdown. So they probably would not have, which the Bengals would have won. So that one call by that referee was the mistake. Although, why the Bengals would, they had timeouts, they were moving their way up the field, they were in field goal range, a field goal would have tied it up, sent it into overtime. Why they would throw the ball on 4-1, I have no idea.
Well, here's my thought on that. The Rams expected them to try to run. They probably had the line packed. They probably figured it was either going to be a quarterback sneak or give it to the running back, Mixon. And so they decided if they threw, there wouldn't be anybody on the other side of the line. They could throw the ball, and maybe the guy could run for a touchdown. That was probably their thinking.
Yeah, but the problem there is that not only did the Rams apparently not think that, they sacked him. He didn't even get the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, well, the Bengals' offensive line isn't as great as the Rams' defensive line. Because what I watched of the game, that Rams' defensive line pretty much had their way with the Bengals.
I would have just kicked the field goal.
Well, you might have tried. How long did you say that field goal would have
been? Well, I think Adam said 68. I mean, that would have been tough.
I don't even think that guy for the Bengals can kick a 68-yarder. Now, if it had been 58, yeah, that would have been probably feasible, but not 68.
And that's why 1 yard, I mean, if they had to throw the guy over it, one yard.
I mean, they could have tried that, you know. They could have tried running, but like I said, that Rams defense was, I mean, it was tough. It was a lot tougher than the Bengals offensive line. But if you remember, I did call it. I said 3 points. I just got the wrong team.
It was, well, you know what? Everybody I talked to, and it wasn't just on the radio, but everybody I talked to in the grocery store, people who I knew in life, everybody did say the Bengals were going to win. I did not have one person come to me, and I understand that that's favoritism for an Ohio team, but it was one of those cases. I mean, because sometimes people will look at you and they'll go, boy, I really want Ohio State to win, but it's going to be tough. It wasn't even that. Everybody thought the Bengals were going to win. They thought it might be a tough game, but everybody thought they were going to win, and they should have. That game was called on a referee's decision.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've seen many a game decided by the referees, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can protest, you can try to get the ref fired, fined, whatever. There's nothing you can do about it.
That is true. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open. 8 minutes left in this hour, 52 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. And again, if you think I'm wrong on this, let me know, because I certainly can be wrong about things. 740-383-9944, especially in the football world, because that is not a game that I follow a great deal. A matter of fact, that was probably the most I've watched of a football game in a very, very long time. And again, does anybody have anything to say about the halftime show? 740-383-9944. It was such a divided halftime show. As I said, people who lived in that era loved it, thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but people who did not live in that era thought it was the worst halftime show they've ever seen. 740-383-9944, and I don't think there were any commercials that stuck out last night. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, from start to finish, I had troubles all the way through the game. First of all, I could not ever figure out what the advertisements were about. And the way the cameramen showed on the field when they're playing, it wasn't the game. All I saw was the coaches with the paper up in front of their face talking, taking their cover in their lips so nobody can read their lips.
You know, I noticed that too. Is that what they were doing? We're trying to hide lip readers?
Well, that's what they always do. That's what it's all about. Heck, with COVID-19, why didn't you just put a mask on?
Yeah, wear a mask!
You're just talking over a little microphone. It's going up the press box, and the people up there are telling them what they ought to do and what they shouldn't do. There's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians on those football games and stuff. Everybody's calling the shots except the guy that should be the head coach. But I'm not. I'm just giving you my opinion. And as far as that's one thing. And it seemed like to me, they didn't have enough cameras on the field. Usually, they have. It was hard for me to keep track of what was going on. Just maybe the paint on the field or something. Did you ever notice all the action was just about one spot? It didn't go on a long run too much or a long pass and this and that. And I'll just top it off to this halftime show. I don't know. That's up to the individuals to judge on that. I don't know nothing about that because it's out of my wife and I's era of knowing that and doing that. If they have a big crowd for them, there's a lot of people that like it. So if there's a lot of people that like it, they're entitled to have it and watch it, you know, like that. But the other thing, I'm getting a little off track here, is that the play that I couldn't understand, and I know, boy, it was a surprise attack when they come out at after halftime, and bingo, the pass was there, and our man, he was going to receive it, and he couldn't be. Why would he grab that defender's face mask and throw him down? We're talking about professional guys. We're talking about guys out there on that field that's terrific, sprinters and jumpers, the ability to catch one hand, to leap in the air and twist and turn. Why would he do a professional job like that knowing that he's going to get caught? There wasn't a flag on that.
No. And, you know, the Bengals clearly did get a little, I don't even know what you would call it. I think they used to call it redneck about around this area. After that first flag that flew at the end of the game where the Bengals really got in trouble because of that, which I don't think it should have been called on them. I'm still not sure what the guy did. But after that, I think the Bengals lost it. They were trash-talking the Rams. You could see it. They were grabbing jerseys after that point. I think they really lost it. I think their blood pressure skyrocketed after that first flag.
Well, you know what, Scott? You just said it. You don't know really what happened. I think it was poor cameramen in there. They didn't even flash up along the crowds. You used to be able to see the crowds and stuff, you know, and see. I never knew if there was any crowd there or not. Do you ever remember seeing a camera up through the crowd, the reaction and?
No, the only thing I remember, it seemed like they went up to the Goodyear blimp every so often, so you saw the top of the stadium, but that was about it.
You know, I like to see the cheerleaders. Boy, when the Cowboys played, you know the Cowboys were playing. You didn't have to watch the game. You just seen the cheerleaders out there at halftime. Hey, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944, 57 and a half minutes past the hour here. Happy Valentine's Day to you. wherever you are. Not going to be a happy Valentine's Day for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, there's going to be a lot of wives and a lot of girlfriends that are going to be trying to cheer up the members of that team today as they come back from California. 740-383-9944 after that loss to the Rams. Does anybody have it? And again, I hate to be sour grapes on this whole thing. And it does come off sour grapes. But honestly, I've never cheered the Bengals in anything in my life, and I've never cheered the Rams in anything in my life. And as I've said, I'm not a football aficionado or a big football fan. Couldn't tell you the last time I watched that much of a football game, and I don't sit down and watch the Super Bowl every year. But just what I watched last night for me was why I am not a football fan. That a game could be called on a referee's decision. And yes, people will say umpires can have the same impact in baseball. But you know, you have three strikes, four balls in baseball. If an umpire is continually making the wrong count or the wrong call, you still have a chance. I mean, you have two more chances to hit the ball. And you can't not call a home run. You cannot not call a base hit in baseball. That's pretty much not the umpire's decision. There's a line drawn on the ground where that ball's going to go. So there you are. 740-383-9944. Now, football, who knows? Throw a yellow flag out there, and we don't even know why the yellow flag was there. But we can always say, now, did the Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl last night? No. Did the Rams? Well, the scorebooks and the history books will say that the Rams won it. But I think the referees might have won that game last night. I think it was the referees. And heaven knows there were a lot of them. Did you notice they had to get in consultation? At different points, they had to all run out on the field and talk to each other and figure out what foul they were going to call. It was a different type of game. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Hope you're having a great Valentine's Day, and we'll probably come back and talk about Valentine's Day and other things on the other side of this very short but important break for news and weather. Remember, Super Bowl final score, Bengals 20, Rams 23, and that's the way it is, as Walter Cronkite used to say. Back in a few.
Very rum.
Oh, okay.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
By the way, I do want to wish a happy 95th birthday to Jane Meadows. Turned 90.